with it. And now he was utterly powerless. All he could do was sit back and watch, and wonder if he would intervene if the opportunity arose. Jet was, after all, doing the job that he had failed to do. Who was he to get in the way? Maybe Jet, too, was defying his baser instincts and trying to do the right thing. A voice crackled from the planet on a Republic frequency. Ulu recognized it instantly.
Higher now so the jamming might not be as effective. This is Lieutenant Moxla calling Director V.E. I've hitched a lift on the back of the Skyhook, and I'm placing transponders on the vulnerable points. Strike them as hard as you can. Please respond. Let me know I'm getting through. We're higher now, so the jamming might not be as effective. This is Lieutenant Moxla calling Director...
It's a recording. Jet reduced the volume. I see the transponders. If she's done her job properly, we can hit the Skyhook with everything the Paramount has and take it out of commission before it reaches the equator.
What about Lorin?
Maybe she's already ditched.
We can't know, can we?
No. So what do you want to do?
Are you really giving me the choice?
Not really. Just seeing if you could come up with a decent argument. Tiny points of light flared in the holoprojector as the Paramount sent every missile it had on the way. Chapter 42. Lorin ran lightly over the uppermost dome of the Skyhook, keeping low to avoid the occasional pot shot. The structure was made entirely out of linked hex bodies. Some of them retained a modicum of individuality and raised a limb to fire as she went by. She couldn't watch everywhere at once, but she had managed to avoid any serious injuries thus far. That would change the moment her message was received, or the fleet opened fire regardless. There was no way off the Skyhook now that it was in flight. If it went down, so would she and all her squad mates. Not all of them had jumped aboard with her, but those who had knew what they were getting into. They were perhaps 24 troopers, like her, scattered across the moving Skyhook, all operating independently. Comms came and went. She had set her transceiver to broadcast at the earliest opportunity and let it spool on without her hearing. Each transponder she placed pointed to an air vent or sensor array or anything else that might suffer from an accurately placed hit. She hadn't wasted time on trying to sneak inside the Skyhook. There would have been little benefit in getting herself killed that way. It was ironic, she thought. Telemetry told her that the Skyhook was bringing her closer to where Shigar should have landed. But she probably wouldn't make it. And neither had he, most likely. His transport had gone down in flames. She might share the same fate as him and never know it. Blue light flashed to her right. A trooper had been pinned by three widely spaced hexes, all firing simultaneously. He returned fire, crouching low to present a smaller target. But he couldn't fire at all of them, and he had nowhere to retreat to. As she watched, taking the measure of his predicament, a shot clipped the neck seal of his helmet, triggering a jet of precious air. He went down, thrashing about to reach the leak, but his shoulder joints wouldn't flex that far. She came in low and fast, shooting the nearest hex first, before getting a bead on the others. They shifted their sights to her, but she was practiced at fighting hexes now. She aimed for the sensor pods first because they were easiest to hit. Without eyes, how could they shoot back? Two other hexes joined in before she reached the fallen trooper. She scooped him up with one hand under his left underarm and kept moving.